For the Family Vision Center in downtown Atlantic, this is Chris Parks, and being joined as always by Cass and Adair County Conservation Officer Grant Jelly with another week of the Conservation Report here on KJAN. Good morning to you, Grant.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Well, we're getting, we're moving through winter. We're starting to see some warmer days here and starting to feel a little bit more spring-like, and hopefully we won't be too far down the road from folks getting out and being able to enjoy the outdoors a little bit more here once again, but I guess as we're in that little bit of a lull yet here, there are some other things that get accomplished that we can do, and maybe when we're not focused as much as being outdoors. And one of those is having the opportunity to listen to the public and hear what people have to say about the natural resources around them and contributing to some of the rules that are out there from the DNR and or all those listening sessions that are being held. And we've got a couple of them here nearby.
Yeah, we do, Chris. This is one of the most important things that a sportsman or woman can do, in my opinion, is to attend these types of meetings because, you know, like I always tell people that stop me at a gas station or when I'm out in public, and usually people want to maybe bend your ear a little bit about something that they think should be changed or something they're not necessarily happy with. One of my questions I typically ask is, well, did you attend any of the public meetings? And sometimes I hear yes, but more often than not, I unfortunately hear no. And, you know, this is kind of a sports person's opportunity to get there and voice their opinions, maybe share some ideas that they may have or things they'd like to see changed or just anything that comes to mind in the world of hunting, fishing, trapping regulations. And so each winter, we host these meetings across the state, and we've kind of had some different formats through the years with video streaming, and of course, we had COVID issues in the last couple of years, but we're going to be back to in-person ones throughout the month of February, and next week, we're going to be hosting a few of them in here in our area. On February 21st, we'll have one down in Creston at the YMCA. That begins at 6 p.m. And then on February 24th, we'll have one in Council Bluffs at the Fish and Game Club at 6:30 p.m. And if you can't make either of those, there's a whole list on the DNR's website of different locations or venues across the state. And hope to see a lot of people in attendance in those areas. And again, you know, it's really important as a outdoorsman to get out there and who has spent, you know, 30 days in a deer stand and you saw two deer this year, and typically you see several hundred. You know, that is important stuff for us to know. And so we can take into some considerations then what we might be doing with antlerless deer tag quotas and things like that. So very important that people, you know, give their input to these things. And, you know, hopefully they hear about some new changes that may be coming down the road or things that are proposed. And it was just a good opportunity to meet up with sportsmen and women that share a common interest.
Yeah, great opportunity, and we hope folks take the advantage of that chance to get out there and, like you said, share some of the stuff that they may be seeing out there and things that, you know, they feel like are important and impact them. You don't get those things presented unless you're out there kind of, you know, speaking your voice and contributing to the discussion. So we hope people do that. We're kind of winding down the tail end now here of what would be safe ice fishing season. We're starting to get a lot of temperature changes here, and we've certainly had some very warm days, so that can get pretty dicey out there when you get those quick changes in the temperature out there, and folks need to be extra cautious if they're going to try any of that still.
Yeah, definitely. Ice safety is something that definitely needs to be stressed this time of the year. You know, as we all know, the days are getting longer, so the sun is also typically more powerful this time of the year when it does come out and shine. And then on top of that, we've kind of had some really relentless days of high winds that just seem to never end anymore. And so, you know, when you couple that with already open water, powerful sunshine and high winds, you know, you can literally go drive by a lake one day and it would be completely frozen over, and the next day nearly half of the lake is open. So I noticed that just recently here with Lake Anita, the geese had maintained an open spot throughout the entire winter, basically, on the lake. And then when the temperatures warmed up a little bit for those few days, and then we had some real strong north and northwest winds, that wave action just really eroded that ice. And so you're going to have to definitely use some real precautions if you're going out to lakes or ponds and doing any fishing this time of the year. The edges of the body of water are going to start getting soft. You're going to start seeing some really change in the condition of the ice. The top portion may be, you know, have puddles of water on top of it at times, and it may refreeze at night, and it's just not going to have the same strength as a, you know, an 8-inch block of ice that would be frozen earlier in the year would have. So use a lot of caution, use some common sense, always go with a partner or buddy if you can, or at the very least, let somebody know where you're going and when you expect to return, and bring as much safety equipment with you as you can, because it can be a real dangerous time of the year, and, you know, no fish, I don't care how big it is worth risking your life out there on thin ice. So be extra cautious.
Definitely good advice there. And there is an opportunity for folks here in the area, I guess, on the positive side of that, and maybe, you know, gets to the point where even if we do end up with open water, you have an opportunity to still try to do a little bit of different types of things out there once the weather changes. But within the last 2 weeks, the folks with the DNR have released 1,000 to 2,000 rainbow trout at a couple of different locations, one of them being the Moreland Pond up near Fort Dodge, and one of them a little closer to home here at Big Lake in Council Bluffs. That's part of the Cool Weather Trout Program that brings trout to areas that can't support them during the summer. So encourage folks to get out there and take advantage of that while it's available. And you can find out more information by going to iowadnr.gov/trout, and they give you all the details about where they've been doing that stalking and when. But good opportunity for folks to do something a little bit different there close to home. You need to have that valid fishing license and pay the trout fee to fish or possess trout, and daily limit is 5 trout per licensed angler with a possession limit of 10. And then, of course, children age 15 or younger can fish with a properly licensed adult, but they must limit their catch to 1 daily limit there as well. So kind of always neat when you have those opportunities to do something that's a little bit different, Grant.
Yeah, definitely. People are always looking for different things to do this time of the year, different reasons to get out of the house. And, you know, that's another one that'll has a lot of interest, and people really tend to flock to the ice whenever those fish stockings come to town. And, you know, you see a real increase in the number of people on the lake. So yeah, again, just, that's some good safe fun for the most part, but, you know, use that common sense that you would on any body of water that's froze right now.
For sure. A couple of other things we wanted to touch on here this week. If anybody's listened, they kind of know that I'm kind of a bird nerd a little bit, do a little bit of going around and doing bird counting. And it's the time of year where a lot of that is done. And the folks with the Iowa DNR have done their 2022 Bald Eagle Midwinter Survey, and there has been some interesting results. Over 1,600 miles of rivers and lake shores are surveyed, and all the bald eagles that are seen are counted. And between 2011 and 2021, an average of 3,104 bald eagles have been counted annually during the survey during that time frame. And kind of a little bit of an anomaly year here in 2022. 5,404 adult and immature eagles were counted along 1,626 miles of water. So pretty big numbers. We've seen a lot of bald eagles here around the state. That translates to about 3 eagles per mile of water body surveyed. So that's always great when we're seeing those kind of numbers for a species that certainly is a good, you know, habitat indicator.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, one of North America's great success stories as far as, you know, the rebound of a wildlife species is concerned. But those are some pretty impressive numbers. And, you know, eagles are pretty common anymore. You don't hear people talk about them like we once did. It wasn't too awful many years ago that people were really surprised to see an eagle, and it was really a noteworthy experience. And now, you know, you can drive just about anywhere, and you're going to encounter an eagle if you know where to look. Mm-hmm. And I know myself, in doing the midwinter count, I didn't have any open water for the most part in Cass or Adair counties. It was all frozen at that time, so I didn't have really any waterfowl to count, so to speak, of, other than a few at Lake Anita and a few at Schilberg's. But I think I counted at least half a dozen bald eagles in just my travels from place to place. And pretty interesting, because the eagles aren't always found by bodies of water like they used to be. You know, that used to be where you would always go to look, because that would be where they would be doing their fishing. But it seems like nowadays they have almost changed their feeding habits a little bit this time of the year. And we have so many roadkill animals, whether it's deer, raccoons, possums, you name it, that are on the sides of our roads, or livestock that, you know, carcasses out in different places, or deer carcasses left over from deer season, that it seems like the eagles can really be found in pretty good numbers just out in the middle of nowhere, not even close to any water. So they really changed the way that they feed, and they're really more visible now than they ever have been. So that kind of goes to show why we're counting the number of eagles that we are during those counts.
Yeah, certainly. And they mentioned here in the same article that they like to see about 30% of the count as immatures. And if they, of course, see that number start to dip below that percentage, then they would have some concern. But this year they made up about 34% of the count. 1,852 of them were immatures. So that's still on a great trend. They mentioned that some of the reasons why we might be seeing a little bit more this year is because when we have more mild winters here locally, it doesn't make sense for birds to really stray too far from where their nesting ground. So a lot of them that are nesting here in the state are just kind of hanging around and finding some open water where they can and staying in the area. And then they mentioned that up north it's been a fairly cold January, and a lot of the water up there has been frozen for a while. So there's been some Minnesota and Wisconsin birds that are likely wandering down to Iowa, and that's probably why we're seeing a little bit more concentrated number here for this year's count. So kind of interesting to see how those trends work out sometimes. I did want to mention, too, I saw a story that the Cedar Rapids Gazette had put out about some things that have been going on over on the eastern side of the state, where they have found some birds dead in large numbers. Some geese and pelicans that have been found dead along the Mississippi River, and wildlife biologists are still kind of not sure what really is going on there. There was a case where 20 Canada geese were discovered near a marsh along the river in Davenport, and about two dozen dead American white pelicans were found several months ago in the river around Bettendorf upstream there. They're not really sure. They think that there may be some issues with elevated lead levels being a contributing factor, and then the fact that low river levels have been out there, so there might be some more concentrated bacteria and mold growth that's going on in some of those shallow waters that could cause issues. They saw a situation in Iowa City earlier this year where there was a high death count of some migratory birds, and that was contributed to some dead fish that they were eating along the way. So kind of interesting. They're asking folks on that side of the state to keep their eyes peeled, and if they see six or more dead waterfowl near one another, to report them so they can come out and do some testing and try to maybe pinpoint why this is going on. But we always run into some of these situations, it seems like, and they've been a little bit more common here recently. So it is kind of, I guess, a little bit concerning.
Yeah, and it's just a good reminder to you know, people to let us know if they're seeing things like that, because I see a lot of people this time of the year that are out, you know, just either hiking or doing shed antler hunting or things like that, getting out and getting to places where they always wouldn't be this time of the year. And, you know, if you're seeing things like that, you know, let us know, because we do appreciate those reports and we do look into them. So if there's things like that that you're witnessing, probably won't see much of that happening here locally, but in places that may have lower water levels or more marsh areas, that's something that could definitely, you know, be cause for concern. So report those things if you come across them, and hopefully we'll just kind of keep our fingers crossed that those are just some isolated incidents.
Yeah, certainly. One other quick note, too, as we finish up here, if you want to get involved in a little citizen science project, we always appreciate help out with different wildlife counts, and one of those is going on this weekend as we air this, the Great Backyard Bird Count, 25th Annual Bird Count going on this weekend. That runs through the 21st, and all you have to do is take 15 minutes out of your day and sit down in one location and then count the number of birds that you see there during that time. And then you go to birdcount.org to report those, and you'll want to make sure that you're searching and tagging Cass County as your location there so that it gets included in the Cass County numbers. And as well, if you want some more information, you can also contact Laura Canning there at Cass County Conservation. She always does a great job of getting that info out to folks that want it. And again, you can go to birdcount.org and find out information as well. So that's going on this weekend, something fun maybe you can do just even sitting at the window. That's going to wind things up here for us this week here on our conservation report. Grant, we appreciate you taking some time again here to talk with us what's going on.
Hey, thanks, Chris, and everybody stay safe when you're out there and enjoying the up and down weather that we're having.
Certainly. That's Grant Jelly, the Cass and Adair County Conservation Officer. This has been Chris Parks, and thanks to Family Vision Center in downtown Atlantic for bringing you another conservation report.